Good day. My name is Paul Jarrett. I'm an orthopaedic upper limb surgeon at Murdoch Orthopaedic Clinic in Perth in Western Australia. And today I thought we might discuss glenohumeral instability. So the shoulder joint, it's an amazing joint when you think about it. It moves through more than a hemisphere of motion. And compared to the hip joint, which has got a deep socket to allow a lot of bony stability, of course the shoulder can't have that. The socket's got to be relatively shallow to allow this immense amount of motion. So to keep the shoulder stable, not only does the bone play a role in the muscles, but particularly in the shoulder, the capsular structures, the ligaments, and also the labrum, which is a thick structure, a bit like a calomel ring around the exterior aspect of the glenoid. So in some joints, if you think about the elbow or the proximatopharyngeal joints of the hand, when they dislocate, when you relocate the joint, those structures sit pretty much where they're meant to be, in the so the supportive structures tend to heal, and it's quite uncommon to get recurrent instability. Whereas in the shoulder, the structures that are injured often don't sit anatomically, and therefore there's a real risk of developing recurrent instability. Now, the chance of developing recurrent instability is quite age dependent in the shoulder. If you're a teenager and you dislocate your shoulder, you're almost certainly going to go on to get recurrent instability. If you're over the age of 35, very much less likely to be the case. In fact, stiffness is more likely to be a problem. And therefore, it does make sense to treat these two groups of people differently. So if you get a first time a traumatic dislocation of the shoulder, naturally you're going to relocate their shoulder, ensure that they have x-rays demonstrating that the joint's relocated and there's no fractures. And then you will usually provide people with a sling simply for comfort. They can start coming out of that and rehabilitating as fast as they feel capable of. And then if they don't appear to get recurrent instability, that would be wonderful. And if they do, we could consider reconstructive surgery at that point. One caveat to that is the teenagers, as I've mentioned, because their redislocation rate is so high, even after a first dislocation, it's very realistic to consider acute operative intervention. And that's a discussion we'd have with those patients, and usually it's what I would recommend. However, for the older patients, we rehab them after the first dislocation, and then only if they get symptoms of instability or redislocate would it be worth considering surgery. Now, when we undertake surgery, there's two main ways currently of undertaking it. First is to arthroscope the shoulder to free up the injured structures, place them where they're meant to be, and suture them in place. And so that's an arthroscopic stabilization. And anatomically, that makes very great sense and has a very good track record of providing good function and low recurrence rates. The other alternative is performing something called a Latagé procedure, which can be open or occasionally arthroscopic. And basically, we're taking the coracoid process of the scapula off. It's got two tendons attached to that. That process is attached to the anterior aspect of the labrum and provides some more bony support, and the ligament at the tendons attached provides some stability, some anterior restraint. The benefit of the Latagé is it's got a very low recurrence rate. It provides bony support if there's been bone missing in the front of the glenoid, and it's good for bone loss, high-level contact athletes, or revision surgery. After surgery, of course, we can't allow people to return to their activities straight away, and of course the reason for this is we're wanting the structures to heal, and that takes a long time before they get maximal strength. So typically we'll have people in a sling for about 4 weeks, then no heavy activities for 3 months, no contact sports for about 6 months, and very high level contact sports such as Australian rules football about 9 months. Now, some patients recover their motion and comfort very quickly afterwards, and of course they think, my goodness, I can return to sports very rapidly because I'm comfortable and my shoulder's feeling really good. We have to make a very conscious effort for them to understand that just because they're feeling good and their shoulder appears to be working doesn't mean the structures deep in there are healing any quicker. And so we'll have to really convince them to take it easy until the appropriate time span. So in terms of the take-home points from today, I think the first one is that first-time teenagers, there's a role for an intervention for surgery straight off. For recurrent dislocations, surgery is almost certainly going to be preferable than them continue to have instability events, because this is very unpleasant for them and actually quite damaging to their shoulder. And that after surgery, patients really have to take their time to heal and allow the structures to unite. Otherwise, you have a higher risk of dislocation. There's further information about all these things on my website or patient information brochure. I'm very happy to send you a copy of that if you want. Thank you.